Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I got it right.
It is.
I don't know. I fuck it up all the time. It's just how I roll. I can't help it. When we do two nights a week, I know. But we didn't have a show last week at all.
No, we didn't.
We had some emergency stuff going on, and then Thursday I had to get ready for a drive on Friday to go to Illinois. So I took my oldest son with me to a debate in Illinois. Debated there. Showed up, and I didn't know that the moderator was going to be Joe Jorgensen. It was a pretty boring debate. There was no, like all the debates with Larry and stuff that hosts, we have like these cards so we can throw them out and rebuttal and stuff. There's no rebuttals in this thing. It was like a round table. It was boring. But I love Illinois and I love the people in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't love Illinois. Let me preface that with Chicago sucks anus, all the asses. But I do love the people that are in the party there. Especially my friend Donnie Henry. I was really excited to see him and his wife and his mom and dad actually too. But it was good. I think we did good in the debate. We did well. They were short 1 minute answers, so I always hate that. You know, I'm a long form guy. I want 3.5 minutes minimum. You know what I mean? To really lay out my vision per question, and you don't get that in some of these debates. It's unfortunate, but you guys can come to my show anytime you want and check it out. And before we go too far into this, guys, go check out TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break Cycle, where you can get this. It didn't have to be this way. Ron Paul hoodie that you see me wearing tonight by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into a private Discord server and get up to 30% off of all of his new gear 2 weeks before it goes to the general public. And I am going to get on him about it this week and let him know, like, hey, if you're out there, Top, we need you to throw some new shit in the chat and let people buy some stuff from you. It's a win-win for all of us. I know it's been a while. With that said, tonight we will have the first members-only show where I will include members in the show. If you want to pop on, there's a StreamYard link on the Patreon, also on the Subscribestar, also on the YouTube. In the I make a post of the link for the show, the after-hour show, in the community notes every night. So you guys can go there, click on the link to watch the show, or you can click the StreamYard link and come into the queue. And I'll bring you on to the after-hour show to ask your questions, and we'll talk and hang out with you and then boot you off when we're done. But so if you guys want to get into that, that's how we're going to start doing the after-hour show for members. You get to be a part of that. We got a great show for you tonight. Let's check in with my good friend Ryan Kurt before we move on. Ryan, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing pretty good. I think that's the first time you have just introduced me as your good friend and not your co-host.
Oh, sorry,
dude. I don't know. I've either upgraded to just good friend or downgraded to no longer co-host, and I'm scared to find out which.
So it's funny because every time, every time one of my friends online is like, what's up with Ryan? He's hella gay or whatever. I always say, listen, Ryan is one of my best friends in the world. Okay. I always say that about you. Yeah. I want you to understand that that's how I treat you when I'm not to your face. Look, good friends talk shit to your face and then say good things behind your back. That's how it works. Bad friends say good things to your face and talk shit behind your back. I'm the opposite. Yeah. Just so you're aware. I feel like if you're talking shit behind someone's back, that just makes you a bad person with no integrity. If you talk shit to their face and then say good things behind their back, that makes you a man full of integrity, a good person to be around.
Yeah, I can't help a lot of my mannerisms. They're just built in.
I just kidding. It's not a lot of people. It's mostly just Top Lobster, dude. Oh, you know what I mean? He's like, hey, Ryan's gay.
But yeah, Top, you're like 145-pound twink.
Come no, he's on, not. Bro. He's not. He used to be fat. He lost a lot of weight, but he's not 145. He's definitely more than that. He's thick. He's got that thick Puerto Rican core, dude. You know what I mean?
He's significantly smaller than me. Yeah.
Oh, we so, do. We'll probably have to. We
got a lot. Have a whole lot of room to talk.
Yeah, I mean, shorter than both of us by far, but he's he's wider than you for sure. There's no doubt about that at all. Not even close, dude. We do have a lot to talk about. Also, the stone toss fake dox is hilarious. I don't know if you guys saw this, but we'll talk about that tonight.
First of all, it was a 99 tweet thread.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I'm not reading all that. I'm happy for you, or sorry, whichever and,
like, one of it was information about Stone Toss. Then it was like going over all the different comics that I read
a good portion of it, but not 99 tweets. And halfway through, I realized that like the tweets weren't even about Stone Toss anymore. They were like completely about somebody else. But we'll talk more about that. There's a lot to talk about. We got a great guest for you guys tonight. I'm very excited. I was just on his show recently, and probably the only libertarian presidential candidate he'll have on the show, I'd imagine, because there's not a lot. There's not other guys out there like me that are as accepting of some of these things and the Libertarian Party. There's a very woke factional thing to the Libertarian Party. I guess I'm trying to change that, and I think people understand that. But we got a great guy on the show tonight. He has a great show called Call Me Ignorant, Mr. Stephen Ignoramus. You have so many names on Twitter, man.
I'm heavily censored, so I'm kind of like a nomad, like a shapeshifter, a time traveler. So yeah, I know it can get confusing, but yeah, my online name is Stephen Ignoramus. Real name Stephen Baker. I was doxxed a couple of years ago, so I'm pretty open about that. I'm a January 6th Patriot, America. You know, I was arrested after being inside of the Capitol live streaming, which was insane. But yeah, definitely. You're one of the good libertarians, man. And I can attest to our short conversation off air that Ryan is indeed not gay. Big fan of Top Lobster as well. He's been on the show twice. But yeah, I'm really excited to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you for coming. We are dropping like a shit ton of, not a shit ton of frames, but like 3% of frames. Which is the first time we've done that since we got the internet upgrade. So I'm not sure why. But guess what? Guess what they just put in my neighborhood? Fucking Google Fiber, dude.
Oh.
So we're finally upgrading from corn internet in here in the Midwest, right? To a real fiber internet. So as much as I hate Google, if they give me 5Gs of upload, I'm going to have to take that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So how they get you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Quest Fanny, thanks for the $2 super chat. He said, what's up, Mayo Monkeys? Let's see the spice flow. Brown Water Squid, my homie over there in the Southeast region. $2 super chat. He said, what's up, retards? I'll give you guys one of those every once in a while. What's up, retards? That's the intro to Tower Gang. That is my voice, if you didn't know that. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I popped on.
Okay.
There's a funny story about Tower Gang, if you don't know. I basically honeypotted them into starting the show. We were all part of the Tower Gang, and we towered people. I was like OG Tower Gang on Twitter. We used to tower people. And I was like, dude, we should start a podcast like Legion of Skanks, but like worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. And so they got it all put together, and then I didn't show up till like episode 20 or something like that. And then I didn't show up again until like episode 60. Like I've only been on two episodes, but one of them was when they had Shoe on Head, and I like hopped in the show like late, and that's how I entered the show. It was what's up, retards, and it's been in their intro ever since. So pretty crazy. So tell me about your show. Tell me about why you're doing it. What's important to you? All those good things, man.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been a musician for about 15 or 20 years, and I'm a music teacher, so I do that by trade. And I started live streaming. On January 3rd, 2019, I've done it almost every weekday since then. And over that time, at the time, I was basically a right-wing, maybe centrist libertarian. And over the course of 5 years or so, just went further and further right. And now I'm falling off the edge of the flat earth, so to speak, of the political spectrum. But I try to keep a sense of joy about it. I'm definitely a Christian. I know you are as well. So I try to, I'm not a pastor, obviously, or anything like that. So I try to point people to Christ as much as I can. But now I basically just talk about culture war issues, whether it be, I don't know, race, religion, relationships, rootless cosmopolitans, as I've heard you guys mention.
My favorite term, dude.
Here on the show. But yeah, there's not really many topics that I won't touch. I mean, we do politics, and I also go to political events. So I went to been to CPAC a couple times and America Fest, and I've covered rallies, like I said, January 6th, some of these. I was at the George Floyd riots in DC in 2020.
Oh shit.
So I kind of just try to approach things like a kind of on the ground stand-up comedian and kind of get into, you know, open dialogue and open discourse about certain things. And like you said, you've been on the show. I like learning about people's story and what they're, you know, how they justify their views and stuff like that. So I basically just do that every day, and I actually like it more than my real job now. I wish I got paid more.
Yeah, don't we all?
I just love the internet, man. I just love right-wing internet. I love memes. I kind of don't really talk about or talk to leftists at all anymore, because I just try to, like, I'll make fun of the people on the right that I don't like because I'm trying to reform it. And I don't know, I just am terminally online, so I just love live streaming. So that's I probably left some stuff out, but whatever, man.
Yeah, I totally get it, dude. And I feel you. I think we all wish we could get paid more to do this like full time. Yeah. Like, there was a time when I was doing this five nights a week. I was streaming mm-hmm. 5 nights a week, and I worked 12-hour shifts and got 7 kids and all that. And that was the time. I will say that was the time that I made the most money from the show. Mm. But it was hard to do. It was hard to do even just an hour a night, Monday through Friday. But I think that someday we'll get back there. We're definitely growing now. We're doing anywhere from 20,000 to 70,000. Views on Rumble, which is pretty cool. I appreciate that upkick, so that's definitely spinning us off a little bit, but we got a lot to talk about. But before we get into all this, dude, I want to keep talking to you. So you were arrested for January 6th, and you're not the first January 6th guy that we've that's been arrested that we've had on the show. We did have the podium guy, the lectern guy, on the show.
Oh.
And then we also had a gentleman who was arrested in the Whitmer kidnapping plot and told us all about how that was honeypotted and how they were totally set up and pushed and entrapped into that stuff. But why don't you tell us about your experience at January 6th and how the arrest went and all that stuff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, so at the, 2020 was just the year of me covering events on the ground all the time. Like I said, I did the George Floyd thing. There was about 10 of those in D.C. And then I went to this Richmond 2A rally earlier in 2020. And then around the time of the election, I lived in D.C. at the time, so I covered the election the night of, and then Stop the Steal started. So January 6th, the whole idea that it was like premeditated or whatever is just ridiculous. I mean maybe parts of it were or whatever, but I mean, to me, it was just the fifth Stop the Steal rally that it was basically the final one, because it was the day that Congress was supposed to certify the vote, and I heard about it about 3 days before, and I was kind of in transit at the time. I moved out of DC and was living with my mom for like 2 months while I bought a house in Tennessee. And I start getting wind on Telegram and stuff like that about this big rally that's happening on January 6th. And I go there, and I did, like a 9-hour live stream that day. At the time of the breach of the Capitol, I'd been already live for, I think, 5 or 6 hours or something like that. And I don't know. I mean, I've done many videos about the play-by-play, and just to kind of distill it, I'm up on top of these elevated platforms. I mean, first of all, I was on the east side of the Capitol, not the west side. The west side is where all the real stuff went down, where, like, the shooting of Ashley Babbitt, the big pictures, the iconic shots and footage were on the west side. I was on the east side, where Jake Chansley, the QAnon shaman, was. I filmed him a little bit, but basically, that people were grabbing the barricades, those metal barricades. They pulled them out from the cops and they just ran towards the Capitol. And I kind of just made a conscious decision. I was like, my life is either going to change forever right now, or it's not. So I just kind of hopped off this platform and ran with them. And I'm not going to lie, I thought we were going to get shot, dude. I mean, we'll probably like get into our views on government or whatever, but if I were the cops, I would have shot me. I mean, I think rioters kind of should be shot. And not that I was rioting, but it's like I'd seen bricks thrown at cops and all kinds of stuff at the George Floyd riots. And I was like, they should shoot them. And I was like running up there with my phone on my selfie stick, just with a gas mask on, because I've been tear gassed before. And I was basically just running up there like, yo, am I going to get shot? Like, what's going on right now? And I was outside the Capitol for like an hour, and then finally we went inside, and people asked me, did they break in? Did we break, whatever. The doors only open from the inside, so we had to have been let in somehow. I wasn't in the first people going in, but we got in, and I stayed inside, I think, for about 45 minutes and just kind of walked around the first room. I was like making racist jokes and stuff like that. I was just like being a comedian, basically. And I gave a couple takes or whatever, but it was just surreal. And I knew that we were part of it was human history, it was world history happening in the moment. So I knew over the course of the couple hours that my life had changed forever. And finally the cops kind of forced us out. I didn't see anything really crazy, because my footage kept the service kept dropping. So I didn't go in very deep. And once I left, I mean, like, you know, it was just over the course of an hour, it went from 30 people watching to 50,000 people watching my stream. And it was being shared on Tucker Carlson, and the media was blowing me up. Like, you know, I was getting multi-streamed on a bunch of different platforms, and I just knew my life as it was before was completely over. I was getting serial reported. My friends were the ones that doxed me, actually. My old friends from DC reported me to the FBI. I got fired from my job 2 days later. It was insane. And then a month later, or I guess the day of Biden's inauguration. So I got back, you know, I'm shell shocked. I just don't even know what to think at this point, man. But you know, the day of Biden's inauguration, I'm streaming and the FBI shows up at my mom's house that I'm living at, gives her his card. And then 10 days go by. I got a lawyer and stuff like that. 10 days go by. They just show up at my mom's at like 6 a.m. with like 30 FBI agents and take all my electronics, take some of hers, take me to the U.S. Marshals place. And then over the course of a couple years, finally I got sentenced. I did 3 weekends in jail and I get off probation pretty soon, actually. But it was life changing, man. It was, one of the craziest things is like having your life intersect with history. It's like, right. It's kind of the biggest high that you could kind of get. It's just, you know, I'm just this little guy, and then the tidal wave of history, and you know, I'm surfing the wave. So it was absolutely insane. And there's some things I can't say yet that I will say once I get off probation. But I don't know if you have any more questions, but that was kind of the in a nutshell experience, man.
No, it's absolutely crazy, and I hold some very serious views about January 6th myself. The people that watch the show know that I think that you guys didn't go quite nearly far enough. I believe that everybody should be arrested, or everybody should that's been arrested should be released immediately and all convictions overturned, even the violent ones, if there were any. I don't believe there was really that many violent protesters. But I actually have been asked this question in debate for the presidential election. And I think that I've probably given the most solid answers on January 6th. So I want to watch it with you and see if you have any feelings about what I said here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, you're gonna play it right now. Cool. Yeah.
Let me get it set up here. I'm still new to this old stuff here. So, but let me see if I can get my Twitter shared here. Add it. And Twitter account. That's where. We'll see what you guys think about this. See how you feel. We are on my Twitter. I think we're almost there. Sorry, I post a lot.
It's always further down your timeline than you think it is.
Yeah,
it
always. And I post a lot. I do post a lot. You do. That's the foreign policy one. Okay, here we go.
There, your warning, guys. January.
Hold on. Okay, let's make sure that it can be seen. Screen here. There we go. Okay. I'll make it big, guys. It's gonna be as good as I can get it. All right, let's see what people think about this, especially you.
Mr. Smith, please, same question.
Trigger warning, guys. January 6th, worse than 9/11. Worse than Pearl Harbor. Worse than Columbine. It's the worst day in the history of America. It hurt everybody. This guided rope tour. Someone picked up a podium, okay? Someone put their feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, okay? They tarnished our altar of American politics. These people were pissed off. We had just spent a year of watching BLM rioters tear down and burn down private businesses all over the country with the advocacy of the federal government. Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, they have insurance. But we tarnish the altar of American politics, and everyone's got to go to jail. These people should be released yesterday. They should have never saw jail time. I want to be very clear. I don't mean the nonviolent protesters. I mean all protesters sitting in jail, all journalists sitting in jail today as political prisoners need to be released yesterday. Thank you.
What'd you think about my answer there, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I appreciate your answer. I have a much different take on January 6th than most right wingers. In fact, a lot of these conservative America people absolutely hate me for my views on it. I will agree. I mean, we clearly, whatever happened at January 6th, it was like an act of religious blasphemy towards the establishment.
Oh yeah, big time.
It wasn't just, you know, to me, there's no comparison, not criticizing you for this, but there's no comparison between the leftist ones and January 6th, because it was totally a religious thing to them. That is their temple. That is their sacred temple. And it was like a religious defilement to them. And they were always going to go after the people that did that because of the blasphemy aspect of it. But on the other hand, I kind of, you know, one thing that I've really come to realize about myself is I kind of reject most of the fundamental premises about our modern society, and not just the ones that you might think. You know, I don't really believe in people as sovereign. I don't really believe in human rights or the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, or I don't believe that is the people's house. So I kind of like stay out of the realm of, I don't know what should happen. I mean, yeah, I would like to see everyone be pardoned from that. I do think that if someone just basically just beat up someone, whether it be a cop, I don't care that they're cops. I care that they're people. If they just assaulted a person without being provoked, that they should get in trouble. But most of the stuff that I've seen from people assaulting cops has been provoked by the cops. So in that case, they shouldn't be charged. I totally agree that it was worse than 6 million Pearl Harbors, of course.
I don't know. 6 million seems a little high.
Unbelievable number. Yeah, but if you really look at the Red Cross numbers about about January 6th, it was something more like 250,000. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely, I don't disagree. I just also think that January 6th is very misunderstood, because I don't think it was a Fed surrection. I mean, there were Feds there. I saw Feds, and I really just think it was a bunch of pissed off patriots that did a riot. And is that bad? It's just the way it goes sometimes, man. They didn't give those Trump people any recourse over, like, depending on how you look at it, anywhere from an 8-year to like a 50-year period. They just hate white people, man. And Trump was the white president. He had the good old white people behind him. They banned Trump. They made his presidency hell. They stole the 2020 election. I mean, allegedly, in Minecraft.
Thank you for that. And if you're listening, YouTube sponsors.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But yeah.
I didn't monetize this one.
Yeah. They just left those people no recourse. So in that sense, I wasn't even really a writer or a participant. I was being a journalist with a comedic streak. So, I try to operate in the realm of cause and effect and what did happen. And I do kind of reject the Fed narrative and the Antifa narrative, although, how many Feds or Antifa do you need to provoke that type of thing? I saw pissed off white people, and I think that's really what the establishment fears more than anything is Christian white folks that are not willing to do what they say. And that was an example of that.
Well, I've been really clear about this. And I think I talked about this on your show too, about Yuri Bezmenov and how he defected from the KGB Russia in the 70s. He came over here and told everybody, like, hey, they're going to fucking infiltrate all. They are currently infiltrating all of your institutions, your government, your schools, your churches, all these things. And I have always said that there's two things that the communists in general, and before we even get into like race or anything like that, communism is the biggest cancer of the earth, period, plain and simple, in my opinion. 100 million dead in the 20th century due to communist policies. Fucking insane, if you think about it. Yeah. But, the two things that they had to go to war with, especially in the color revolution in Russia and in the Bolsheviks revolution, all this stuff, right? Like, they had to go to war with the family. They had to absolutely humiliate fathers and drive families apart, and faith, because faith, when you got a strong family unit and you got strong faith, Those two things will keep you from joining a communist revolution, right? They're like, we don't need the collective. We don't have to have the collective to be strong. We have a strong family already. So they exiled and murdered countless. I mean, almost all the Orthodox Christians in Russia, right? Like all the old world Orthodox Russians, like were either sent to China for a 1-year visa before they had to leave there and went to South America, where they lived for a long time before immigrating to the United States, by the way, like the Pacific Northwest and Alaska. They have like little villages where they still have Russian accents. The kids born here still have Russian accents. And so like they know, the communists know that they have to attack those two things. And if you look at America today, right now, those are the two things that are the most under fire. Like just take race out of it for a second. I know that it's an important, part of it. I do know that. I'm not like racially blind. Okay. Like I get it. I have a racial conscience, you know what I mean?
Conscious.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't say it right now. I'm too tired. Listen, I had a bad day at work.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for being my mouthpiece.
I'm helping.
Consciousness, racial consciousness. Okay. But if you take all that stuff out of there first, you know, these were white Russians doing this stuff for them or and lots of Jewish people as well for the Bolshevik Revolution. But, like that's
white, huh?
Yeah. Well, hello, fellow white people. So like this is what they do, and they're doing it right now in the United States. You can literally watch this happen, like in real time. You can see that between, I mean, 1971, I talk about this in my campaign all the time, right? The Title 4D was signed into law of the Social Security Act by President Gerald Ford that literally mandated basically and subsidizes states separating families. Literally, they give a dollar for every 88 cents spent on these child programs, in you know, these family law programs. Every 88 cents a state pays or spends on those programs, the federal government gives them a dollar. And since then, we went from 1 in 60 children living in a fatherless home to 1 in 4 children living in a fatherless home. Like, it was absolutely done on purpose, by design, 100%, made entirely to separate families and make everybody weak and make society weak and make men more effeminate. Like, that's what it was meant to do. And they're attacking our churches. Look at our churches. I talk about this I think it's a Pentecostal church up street here all the time. They got a rainbow flag hanging on the front of the church, dude. Okay. Like at what point, and this is in Iowa, which is like very Christian heavy. Like this state is probably one of the most Christian heavy states in the country. I know we're close to the city, but like at what point did these people go, oh, we have to start not listening to God to get more people to come to church? Like that's not how this works. Like, you follow the rule, the law of God. Well, used to be the Masonic laws, of course, or not Masonic laws, the Mosaic laws, right? I almost said Masonic. No, I was just kidding, guys. Anybody, don't read into that. I didn't mean Masonic, okay? I meant Mosaic laws. And of course, with the second covenant, we all have grace, right? Like that's the part of the second covenant that, you know, people who, you know, in Israel, they don't care about that. They think that it's all some replacement theory or whatever. But the truth is that like we still have to like abide by God and not like blaspheme him at our worship stations, right? Like, so like it's very clear that what Yuri Bezmenov was saying and was happening in real time in the 70s has come to fruition today, 100%. And that's what it's all about. You can't go to the people's house, right, and protest, or you'll go to jail for just what, videotaping and making some jokes? Okay. You have to deal with your church being all accepting of things that the church and the Bible say are sins. You no longer have real control over your family. The government can step in at any time they want for any reason. They can come and take your kids on a whim, on like literally on an accusation. They can come and take your children. They don't even need proof. Like, where in the Constitution or any law at all in the United States does it say the federal government or the state government has the right to step in and take your children away from you without proof, just suspicion, without proof? Like, this, we have gotten to a point in society that the communists want, because now we're weak. And I say this time and time and time again, we're at this point in the circle, right? In the diagram, where it's either we're the tough men who create good times for our children, or our children are going to have to be the good men who create good times, because right now we're in the tough times that were created by weak men purposely, on purpose. So like, you know, when we start talking about this stuff, and like I said, I don't want to say that, you know, race and all this stuff plays no part. I know that there's, you know, I can read statistics. You know what I mean? I'm not stupid. I'm not, I understand how per capita works. I'm not one of these retards online that doesn't understand what's going on. But I will say 100% that the communist playbook, the handbook that they used to read out loud to people in groups in like back rooms and basements, hidden away from society, talking about how they were going to do the revolution, is now just publicly widespread talk online that people talk about all the time. And if you bring it up, you're called a conspiracy theorist, despite the fact that we have the WEF talking about the Great Reset very publicly.
I was going to say, just go to the WEF
website. Like last time
yeah,
we talked about this.
Yeah, they're open about it.
Yeah, last time we talked about this online, they put a note on our video, like a Wikipedia article about the Great Reset and call this conspiracy theorists. And I'm like, yeah. Klaus Schwab literally talks about the Great Reset. He says it in public.
So they've done that on World Economic Forum videos, and one of them titled The Great Reset.
Yes.
And they say this is a far right conspiracy theory right underneath it. And it's like, this is the source. What are you talking about?
Right. Level Zero, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. He said, Bezmenov warned us about Soviet communist subversion. Now it's coming from inside the government, academia, and media. It's all infected. Yes, he warned us about the infection, and now it's infected. He warned us. He told us straight up, they're going to infect every institution. And that's exactly what they have done. Every institution, especially none more so than the government and the academia. 100%. Yes. Those two things more than anything. And the media, of course, up there. You know what I mean? Like it's all a huge agenda to weaken and effeminate the entire population so that they can impart whatever rules they want. They want that, you know, and I talk about globalism and all that stuff, and I sure that's part of it. But right now, weaken one of the most strong, one of the strongest nations in the world. That was the whole plan. I don't know. You ever pay attention to Bezmenov, Iggy?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was, 2019, 2018, I was watching those videos basically once a month, you know, that long interview he did or whatever. And I don't disagree with anything you're saying or anything that Yuri said. Yuri was pro-gay, by the way, but he was right. He was right about his characterizations. And I totally agree with you that, they attack the families by attacking the fathers. I mean, that's just true. And they attack the church. You know, it's one thing that's kind of a pet peeve of mine in normie Christian circles is that they'll say we're so free in America because we get to worship Jesus Christ. At least we're not like China or like India or like North Korea. But the point that I've made is that the way that Satan has attacked the church in the United States is not through overt means. Satan is probably happy that they don't go door to door persecuting Christians in America. The way that Satan is doing is through infiltrating the churches with immoral values. And basically there's a handful of Bible verses that just get absolutely bastardized and used by Satan, by the enemies of God, to try to subvert the church. And you know, I've heard speakers talk about this before, where we have foregone the 10 commandments for the 11th commandment, which is thou shalt be nice, and the 12th commandment being thou shalt not judge, neither of which are even in the Bible. I mean, there's verses about judging, but we are commanded to judge righteously. I mean, we are not commanded to condemn people to hell, not that we could, but we're commanded to call balls and strikes with spiritual discernment and through with the word of God. So I totally agree with that's two of the biggest angles, is coming after the family, coming after the church. And the reason I brought up the race thing is not because it's the most important thing to me. I think it's one of the most important things to them. It, you know, my identity is found in Christ. I'm definitely a white identitarian. I did shave my head specifically for this show. That's a joke. but yeah, I mean, I think they do fear white people. And when I say they, I mean, I know that I really don't want to get you guys like canceled or whatever, but I think that I think that the fact that this is communism is almost a byproduct of Judaism or rootless cosmopolitanism or whatever you want to call it, the men in hats. You know, communism to me, it's like I don't throw around that word that much. I mean, the communists use these tactics, but communism is basically just a It's an economic theory. And just because communists use certain tactics doesn't make the tactics explicitly communist. You know, this is one of the I'm very critical of guys like James Lindsay, who throw around that word willy nilly, just saying everyone's a communist. All collectivism is communism. All whatever is communism. But these tactics are older than communism, and they're anti-God. And who is God? One person of the Trinity is Jesus Christ. The Jews reject Jesus Christ. In fact, they're the only worldview that rejects Christ in the way that they do. So I think that the race, the religion, the people group question is essential to figuring this out. Not to say we have to have it tonight, because I agree with everything you just said about, of course, having strong fathers is very important. Of course, men not being a bunch of like soy queers is extremely important to having a good society. Of course, the church is important. But what I've found, and I talk about this a lot on my show, is that the differences between people groups conversation is one that is very taboo in our society. And that's why I actually don't call myself an individualist. I consider myself more of a collectivist than an individualist, because I think if we just talk about how individuals behave, it actually does not tell the story of what's going on in society. If we were to only talk about individuals, family, and God, we're missing a huge piece of where the problems come from. It's the group dynamics. It's who we consider our people, who we consider their people, who they consider them, who they consider not them. They being not just the group I'm referencing, but any group. I mean, Black people, most Black people don't really identify as Americans as much as they do as Black. When they think about their people, they think about Black people. They say it all the time, whether they're right or left or whatever. So regardless of the specificity of the groups, I think that discussing group dynamics and what groups are and what groups did is, I mean, it's the most underlooked part of the culture war conversation. So, that's just one of the things I dabble in a lot.
Sure. Well, and I don't disagree with you. I think it is underlooked. And I will say, I think that's probably one of the things we do as individualists, because I would consider myself an individualist. I do have this principle and need to judge everybody as individuals, but I also understand groups and group preferences and collectivism. And I think one of the things that we do as individualists that is bad, that's actually bad, is that we don't ever realize that the people that we're up against consider themselves a group. They're going to consider themselves a group no matter what we do, whether it's the gay. Yes. And you can understand that when they talk about my community, right? Like, this is my community is the gay community. My community is the Black community. My community is the Asian community, Chinese community, whatever, right? Like, it's always my community, my community, my community, because they do feel that they're a part of a group. And that's what this is about. That's like when we talk about this stuff at a macro level, right? Like, this is what it's about, is like, for them, they're trying to protect or fight for their community. And we're like, hey, man, I just want to be left alone to barbecue in my backyard. You know what I mean? Like,
the broadest scale of their community is the oppressed. So, any one of these collectivists, especially the ones infiltrating our systems, their community is the oppressed. And to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's anyone that isn't a cisgender white or male.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. And then there's a hierarchy within that about how much privilege.
But if you say that, you're a conspiracy theorist, right? Like, I mean, that's just a conspiracy.
No, I am reading a book right now for my mom, who leads a political group in my hometown, that is going to be mandatory reading for the entire high school. And it basically flat out says all of this, that, like, it's even throwing out new isms that I haven't ever heard before.
I got called a jingoist today.
What is that?
I don't even know.
What is that?
I don't even fucking know. They brought it up when I brought up the Haitian stuff, which I will talk about today. But this anarchist online, I brought up the Haitian stuff. I said, look, and I'm it's no it's no secret that I am not for open immigration, okay? And I'm the I'm pretty much one of the only, if not the only, libertarian candidate running for. Oh, hold on one second. Sorry. I'm probably the only libertarian candidate today that is running for the presidential nomination that is not pro open immigration. I look at it this way. When these the left brings up open immigration and they say that we're not under some kind of an invasion, I like to throw this in their face. Hey, listen, only 1.7 million Nazis invaded Poland, and we had over 6 million people come across our Texas border last year. So if you're telling me that's not an invasion, then the Nazis didn't invade Poland, okay? And they really don't like that one. But the truth is that, look, here's the truth. I don't think it's a sustainable thing for us to import the third world. I think it's very bad for cultural society. I think that it will definitely not enhance our economic factors whatsoever, especially when the vast majority of the people who are coming across today are getting cell phones and entitlements, and they're getting, we say entitlements, but it's welfare, okay? Let me just call it what it is. It's welfare. It's not entitlements. That's a word the Democrats made up to make you feel good about helping other people. It's welfare to people from third world countries that don't have any skills, aren't coming here to get a job. They're coming here to get $10,000 gift cards in New York City, okay, and a place to stay. I saw a video of them today complaining they haven't got any pocket money in 3 weeks, dude. Like, yeah, dude, it's called a fucking job. You know what I mean? Like, I go to one every day to make sure that my kids have pocket money, dude. I don't get shit. I buy cigarettes and coffee, dude. That's all I afford for myself, okay? And that's my vices, cigarettes and coffee, okay? But, like, so, like, I brought up the Haitian thing specifically because, A, we have completely destabilized Haiti. And we've always used them, that whole entire country is a for-profit or political motivation scheme. It's always been that way for the United States. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton both have used Haiti for their weird shit, right? So it's decimated. But also, the vast majority of the people that live in Haiti, like, shit in the street and, cut down the entire forest and fuck, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're going to come here and all of a sudden be like, modern amazing fucking architects, you know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna happen, dude. And so, like, the more we import there, the more of a drain it is on society. And I'm running for president as a libertarian, yes, I get that, but I'm also running as a president to govern a nation, okay? And like and so, like, I have to think about it in those terms when I'm running for politics. And I don't think people understand this. I'm trying to explain this in a way that's like, not, I'm not trying to be inflammatory to people. I'm trying to explain it in a way that makes sense to people. Like, the thing is like, if you want to run in politics, for national politics at a federal level, you have to understand, first, A, mass immigration to the United States is wildly unpopular with the United States at large, okay? Outside of, like, the fringe left, like, crazy, crazy left, and the fringe, like, hardcore libertarians, there is no appetite to have unmitigated immigration in the United States, period, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. There's just not. It's wildly unpopular. If you're running to govern those people, you can't go in there and be like, look, I don't give a fuck what you say. We're opening the borders and letting everyone in and just, like, flood the country with millions of people that displace a culture that is, you know, to a lot of people, their culture. Okay. Whether you're a libertarian and think culture's dumb, or you're on the left and you want to destroy culture, we know what you're doing. We're not stupid. We can see it. The thing is like, you have to understand that the vast majority of the people in this country don't want that. And it's going to be detrimental. It's going to be detrimental to your children as far as economies go. It's going to be detrimental for jobs. It's going to be a huge drain on society. So, like, even if you are pro-immigration, which I'm not anti-immigrant, dude. Like, I want people to understand that I'm not anti-immigrant. But there's, like, a huge difference between, like, importing doctors and bricklayers and people that, like, do, like, great shit, right? And just importing, like, an entire nation of people that haven't worked in their entire lives. You know what I mean? And can't even do anything to build up their own country, right? Like, there's a big difference there. And people need to understand that, like, realistically. Like, I understand the utopian principles of, like, hey, but you know, the NAP. Yeah, the NAP is a great starting point. Like, we should start out at a starting point of, you know, not aggressing on people who aren't aggressing on us. That's a really good starting point. But we have to live in reality too. And when it comes to reality, like, you live in a nation that has a culture, that has borders, that has a government, and you haven't gotten rid of it. And, like, people are on welfare and you know, these, whatever they call them, entitlement programs, and now they're importing people over. So, like, there's steps here. One, import the third world, right? Two, give them all the entitlements. Three, let them vote. Four, the Democrats never lose again. That's what they want. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you bring up the great replacement, people are like, oh, you're a white nationalist. I'm like, no, this really happened. You can see it right now. It's happening right now. In your country, right now, it's happening. It's not a white nationalist talking point. There's people that are born in America that aren't white, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's a culture thing, not just a race thing to me. But I want people to understand that, like, this is a very real fear for a vast majority of Americans. And it's not some white nationalist talking point. It's not some loony, crazy view to think, like, we should probably vet people from the third world that are coming over here, especially all these countries that our fucking horrendous foreign policy has decimated and made them hate us, right? Like, the people that hate us today are the grandkids of the people we bombed, like, 30 years ago, right? Like, we really need to think about this, and there needs to be some kind of vetting process. But I brought up, jingoist is an extreme nationalist. LOL, not you.
Yeah, I just looked that up, okay. Too. Yeah, it's not you. Yeah,
that was my buddy MVW said that, who's also a big fan of yours, by the way. Thanks for $2 super chat. So I got this argument once with this leftist on the phone on a radio station once, like, a long time ago. Like,
why would you make that phone call?
And I got in this argument. I said nationalism isn't inherently bad, right? Like, somebody got really fucking mad at me for saying this. So my grandma's a nationalist, dude. You know what I mean? Like, my sweet little old grandmother wears American flag shirts and shit, and, like, loves her country. Like, that's a fucking nationalist, dude. Somebody who, like, has a national identity and believes in the culture of their nation and, like, loves their nation is a fucking nationalist. That's how that works, dude. It's not like every nationalist that you know is some, like, Warhammer dude with Nazi fucking tattoos on the side of his head, throwing up the Sig Heil and like saying we must deport everyone. Like, that's not the nationalism. Could be like a little old grandma that believes there should be some borders, and like, that's the vast majority of people in the United States. So, like, if you're running on a platform of, like, getting rid of their culture entirely, they're probably never going to vote for you, and you're certainly not ever going to have the power to roll back any of this government shit that you hate. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't know. I think it's important to talk about if that makes me a jingoist, because I think that I don't want, like, cannibal gangs, like, roaming the streets of America, then fuck you. I'm a jingoist. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I learned this from Jeff Deist from the Mises Institute. I don't know if you guys know who Jeff Deist is. I'm sure most people watch me know this.
Sure.
So Jeff Deist was the president of the Mises Institute. He just stepped down for some other job, and they got a great new president. But I had him on the show once, and I said, you know, what do you say to the people who say that you're not a libertarian because you have this view and et cetera, et cetera? And he goes, fine, then I'm not a fucking libertarian. Who cares? Like, who cares about these stupid fucking labels that everybody brings up all the time? Like, does it have any power over your life if they tell you you're not a libertarian? I was like, well, no, not really. No, it doesn't bother me one bit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit. It absolutely has no effect on me when people are like, you're not a pure libertarian. Okay, cool. I don't care. I think babies shouldn't be killed either in the womb. You know what I mean? I also believe that, you know, these doctors that perform these child sex transition surgeries and the mental health care professionals that push them towards these in medicines should be put in prison under the same laws as the federal sex trafficking laws. Like, I believe that 100%. And if you think that
minimum,
minimum, right? Yeah, that's the moderate position. Okay, that's how I feel that's how I feel about the COVID regime. Right? Like, the moderate position for me is we empty out fucking Guantanamo, and that's their new home. Like, that's the moderate position for me. That's not the like extremist position for me. That's the moderate position. And so, like, if that makes me not a libertarian, despite the fact that I fought the national security state, I fought the COVID regime, I've been anti-war, I mean, longer than anybody that I'm running against, really, except for maybe Art Olivier. Like, if those things don't make me a libertarian, but my need to protect innocent lives and vulnerable children, like, my need for those things, and to, like, have some kind of, like, national cultural culture and identity, like, okay, then I'm not a libertarian. I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to run as a libertarian. What are you going to do to stop me? You got to come vote against me. That's it. You know what I mean? That's all. That's your only power in your democracy that you cherish so much is voting against me. So go vote against me. I don't care. I'm still going to run, and I'm going to call myself a libertarian, and I don't care what you say to me. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Steven?
You know what the thing is I only have one reason that I think you're not a libertarian is that you're a cool person.
I have a wife and kids.
that's the only thing. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with the labeling thing. It's just, you know, I label things and label people because I believe in them. You know, I concede that it is just a word that labels are there for ease of language. And so we don't have to, you know, spend 5 minutes, just the definition of this, the definition of that, blah, blah, blah. It's just a label, you know? And I think that when people get too caught up in that, it's just kind of lazy, and they miss the point of discussing things in the first place. And yeah, I mean, most of the takes about the border to me are kind of insane. I mean, I personally think legal immigration is worse than illegal immigration because it tricks people into thinking that it's okay. I mean, I want both ended. I want zero immigration for basically 50 or 60 years. It's a huge problem, and I think they should be treated as invaders at the border. I'm with force. They should be told to turn away, and if they don't, then they should be treated as a war combatant. That's all I'll kind of say about it. But I mean, the vast majority of discourse, exactly. More like Call of Duty. Anyway, most of the political discourse is, by the way, I don't know if this is an on-air thing, but do you have to say in Minecraft if you're advocating it for it from the government? Because what I'm saying is, like, pass a law and the government should do it. Like, it seems like the vigilant, like, you have to say it with, like, the wood chipper argument when you're just advocating for a guy to do it. But I'm advocating for the long arm of the law. I don't know if that's...
I mean, when it comes down to it, the long arm of the law is just a guy doing it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just another guy, yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think government's ordained by God. I think that's the difference between government and not. The Bible says it. Yeah. The Bible.
Yeah, well, listen. There may be some disagreement here, but I do agree with that statement to an extent. That sentiment specifically in the Bible is also comes with some caveats, right? Like, as long as that government is acting in the name of God, right? Like, so governments. No. Oh yeah, I'm gonna find the verse. Damn it.
Romans 13. No, not Romans. 1 Peter 4. Deuteronomy, Exodus. It's all governments. All governments are ordained by God, even if they oppose God.
I'm gonna look it up. You remember the verse? I know the verse.
No,
I haven't read. I'm very familiar with Romans 13. I know that one.
What book are you talking about?
I'm trying to remember right now. It's been a while since I read it. I had this conversation the other day with a Lyft driver, if you can imagine that.
But I just find it a little hard to believe that any organization ordained by God would do the horrible things that our government and many of other governments
done. Ordained by God in the Bible have done way worse. I mean, no, it's not that I'm saying. Sure, they have. Every king, read the book of 1 and 2 Kings.
The amount of people that governments have killed did not exist in 1 and 2 Kings. In the last 100 years, the amount of people that government has killed was more than the entire population of the earth in 1 and 2 Kings. It was not possible for them to be as horrible.
I'm not. Well, are you saying that quantity of people is the only determiner of horrible?
It certainly contributes. That certainly helps.
I don't think so at all. I think that a horrible act done more is more horrible, but simply the quantity of people what you're saying is the reason that these governments are worse is because there are more people. And I'm saying that's not the only factor. I'm saying, like, they were sacrificing kids to demons. They were killing their own people after, you know, they were just leaving babies out to dry. I mean, certainly comparable, but really? Here's my statement I'm making. Every single government that has ever been in power has been ordained by God. And that doesn't make them good. That makes them, a lot of the times, under judgment from God because of the nation's behavior. So it's like, is your father your father? And is God part of that? Did God, like, ordain you to be born to your family? The answer is yes, 100% of the time. because it, and it's because the Bible says so. It's not because I have looked at every government in history. It's just because the Bible teaches that. Not calling it good. I'm just saying that that's what the Bible says.
Yeah. When you say it or it's ordained, it comes with the connotation of approved by God. And
well, it means
that he condones it.
Yeah, I don't mean the actions. I think it that he is allowing them for his sovereign reasons to be the government.
And they're like, I can understand the argument around that, and I think there is certainly an argument to be made that some government-like structure is necessary for a society to be able to thrive and to be able to be God-honoring. I just think we may be one of the governments that's furthest away from that in human history, and so that greatly needs to change, and the most effective way to do that would be to Vulcanize, get rid of the American empire, break government down more regionally so there can actually be some sort of accountability held to these people, and we'd stop rewarding psychopathy so much.
I think that is one of the there's like a limited number of valid arguments that can be made about what to do about this situation. Clearly this is a big problem. You know, it's like what's going to happen with the American empire with the current regime. And when I say current regime, I kind of mean going back to either FDR or Lincoln, this current structure. And Balkanization, I don't agree with that take, but I don't think I think at least it's an argument. Some people make the argument of it's going fine and it needs to stay the way it is. That is ridiculous. I will just totally dismiss that. Balkanization, decentralization.
I think I can make a Balkanization argument that you'll really like. So America is kind of 8 or 9 regional identities in total. If we Balkanized, we could kind of organize ourselves around those regional identities, because it's you're a nationalist, and it's hard for an empire to have a long-standing national tradition and shared values when their regional identities are so disparate. And so you could have much stronger identities and cultural identities if you Balkanized, because the people that would be trying to have a say in what can go on in your society would only be people of kind of a similar cultural makeup. And that's going to lead to a lot less friction and a lot less vying for tyranny.
The Balkanization, that take, like you just said, I do like that take. My whole thing about what's going to happen with the politics is just what I think is going to happen, not what I want to. I think we're in a zero-sum game right now, that it's going to be won by essentially left-wing fascists or right-wing fascists. And I would like it to be the right-wing fascists. Anything other than that, I just don't think is going to happen. I could give you, probably not now because I haven't thought it through, but I could give you 10 or 20 things that if it came closer to these things happening, I would switch my prediction or what I'm kind of working towards to be decentralization. I just think that the geography and the demographics, and when I say demographics, I don't mean just skin color or whatever, or just race. I mean that there's actually no blue, and I mean culturally, there's no blue states. There's just blue cities, and there's no red cities. You know, so it's like a rural versus rural versus urban deal, and I just don't see that situation, whether it be a civil war or a or balkanization. I don't see it actually happening just at all. I don't see how it would happen. So if it did, I wouldn't fight it. You know, I wouldn't be like, okay, you guys aren't allowed to leave. But I think whoever wants to leave is not going to be allowed to. So what we have to do is take over the federal government.
All right, I found it.
So okay,
I had a study on that civil war point.
I'll leave it with this. Peter Churchin has a model that predicts civil wars, and if you apply it regressively, it gets it down to the year. And those, there are three major factors that predict it: competition for elite jobs, low average wages, and inequality. Think on that, and then reflect on whether or not a civil war might be coming.
I totally disagree with that. It needs political leadership. Where's the opposition political leadership? Like, where's the Jefferson Davis or insert those three factors?
I'm ready to fucking lead. Let's go, dude.
I'm sure he's smarter than me, but those might be like correlations, but as far as the necessary factors, that those aren't even necessary factors. You need people that are willing to throw down. America doesn't have them. It needs political leadership from the opposition.
Do you know
America
who the people
doesn't have them
willing to throw down traditionally are? It's sexless young men.
Way more sexless.
Yes, incels.
36 years old.
Yeah.
Young men.
About 30% of our young men are incels.
Yeah.
Most revolutions, if you're hitting like 18, 19%, it practically guarantees it.
Well, interesting. I'll be streaming during it. I'm more of an XL because I'm good at it.
I'll be fucking memeing. So
So hit me with that Bible verse, man.
Okay,
so what'd you find?
So I read, there's a little explanation here too, and I always go to this little study guide to study the Bible with them. But so yes, we are subject to ourselves to the government. Hold on. So it's Acts 5:27-29. And so
that's talking about obeying God.
Yes,
man.
but here's the thing.
That's
so
not
like,
about
no, but there's
government
more than that, because they actually mentioned the government of that region at the time. And okay. The only time the superior authorities are to be disobeyed is when they give commands that contravene God's law, right? God's law are supreme, as brought out in Bible's book of Acts 5:27-29. So they brought them, the apostles, and stood them before the Sanhedrin, right? Then the high priest questioned them and said, "We strictly ordered you to keep teaching on the basis of Jesus' name, and yet look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring the blood of this man upon us." 29, it says, in answer, Peter and the other apostles said, "We must obey God as a ruler rather than men." Right? Mm-hmm. So like, there is times, there are, and there's more. I can look them up. I just don't want to sit here and study the Bible the whole show, because I will.
I would too. Yeah,
but there
I
are,
love this stuff.
Yeah, but there are multiple times where God's law it rules supreme over the human rulers, and so
I agree with that.
If our God, if we have like a godless heathen fucking government, like I can't in good consciousness with my Christian principles follow along with that government. Like I can't just sit there and let them govern without any of God's principles. Like I just can't do
okay,
it.
Okay, so the libertarian
and I'm not a Christian nationalist. I want to make that very clear, right?
I think, is it a rumble shout? I don't remember the official term for
the
$2.
Rumble
thing.
Rant, right?
Rumble rant. Yeah. It's on this topic. He says God repeatedly hardened Pharaoh's heart in Exodus after he hardened his own heart. So what Stephen says tracks. It's more like God uses these evil governments to teach his people lessons.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that he does use, and there is spots in the Bible where he uses the bad governments to deal with bad people. That's 100%. There's no doubt that is in the Bible. But there's also a lot of times where it says that when, you know, good people must obey the man's law for God's law, right? And that is peppered in there. So
my point is that my assertion and your assertion are absolutely zero intention. They're not They don't contradict at all.
Right.
I'm just saying that God ordains every government.
Sure, I
do agree that we need to disobey laws that are trying to get us to sin. I do agree that all laws, because right now we're following not government laws, but right now there's a decorum or politeness or any kind of social rule. Every one of these is subject to God's laws. I'm just saying that that passage from Acts does not say anything about the Sanhedrin. Well, even though they
it
weren't does, the
it actually mentions the Sanhedrin in there.
No, I'm mid sentence. I'm saying it doesn't deny that those things are not ordained by God. Even
right,
disobedient
sure.
governments are still ordained by God. We are still, everyone sits under God's rule. I'm just making the point that every single government is ordained by God, and we are subject to God's laws above their laws for sure. But there's not too many times that a government, if you really think about it, there's not too many times that even a wicked government is asking the individual to sin. They are sinning, but they are not asking us, making us sin very often, to be honest. So that's what I think that's about. We must
have to agree
God
to disagree on the American government, though. I oppose
the American Revolution too. Like, I would have been a freaking redcoat at the time.
Oh Jesus!
I don't believe that overthrowing the government is biblical.
Thomas Paine is my idol. He's one of the greatest.
Yeah, I knew this would be an interesting chat because it's just bros hanging.
Aren't there multiple times in the Old Testament where God commands the Israelites to go and overthrow a government?
Yes.
If God commands it, then it must be done, but that's not what the American Revolution was.
So how do you know God didn't command the American Revolution?
He sent a 6'2" retard with a powdered wig and fucking
Chad. dude, could you imagine from the Lord?
One of my favorite jokes. Like, I love
Samson 2.0.
No, I absolutely love Shane Gillis. He's one of my favorite comedians, probably the best comedian right now. Mm-hmm. But his take on George Washington crossing the Delaware, he's like, could you just imagine? Like, the at the time, the British people were like not over 5'4", right? 5'6", maybe somewhere in there, and they're on the other side celebrating Christmas, and it's the river. Frozen. They're like, listen, no American's gonna come across the river to fuck us up, right? And he's like, and then this is just like this 6'2" like retard with like horse teeth and a powdered wig on a boat in the middle of the frozen Delaware, like, ahoy! And this came over there and just killed all the British. Exactly, dude.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
It's a good debate though, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, I agree. And I'm friendly about it. And I don't think any of us know every single thing about the Bible and we never will. You know what I mean? No matter how much we read.
The only other time I've heard that ordained argument, it was used basically to say you cannot even criticize the government because everything they do is blessed by God.
Yeah, that's retarded.
Yeah.
That's retarded. Okay. RFK
news.
We're doing news. RFK asks Aaron Rodgers to be his running mate. What do you think, dude?
I think White Aaron Rodgers will only agree if he can bring Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard along with him.
Jesus, yeah, dude. No shit, huh? Okay, I'll do it. But Randall Cobb's got to be on the cabinet, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely,
no doubt. What do you think, Steven? You think Aaron Rodgers should run with RFK?
That'd be interesting. I do love that that anti-jabby stabby has gone mainstream, because I've been opposed to that stuff way before it was cool. So I mean, RFK and Aaron Rodgers are totally, it's like the COVID ticket.
Right.
So I like that there's a space for that. I think that Aaron Rodgers might want to give RFK speeches for him. Like, hi guys, I'm like running for it's cool. I think it's good. I love the entertainment, man. I love that. So, you know, it's just another meme, just another celebrity in there. What's his name? Aaron Rodgers is total white excellence. He's a good crap talker.
Yeah, dude, so, he's the best. People don't know this about me, but Aaron Rodgers would. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Okay, I do like football. Mm. I don't care what anybody says. I've played football until I was like 33 years old. It was literally my last season of football in my 30s.
Oh, okay. Holy crap!
It's like my fucking life. I've loved football since I was a very little kid. It's my mom's fault. She used to make bean dip and watch Cowboys games and Niners games. Big Niners fan. But anyways, so I'm a Cowboys fan, so fucking hate the Packers because the Packers have just had our number for a decade. And a lot of that was Aaron Rodgers. But the fucked up part is I'm a Cal fan, like Cal Berkeley. That's where I'm from, the Bay Area, right? Like born and raised. And like I've been a Cal fan my whole life. And Aaron Rodgers was like our best quarterback in the last like 3 decades. And his running back was Marshawn Lynch. And like, and wow. So like I had to watch one of my favorite college quarterbacks go on to just absolutely destroy my team in the playoffs every time they played him going forward. And then this year I thought, oh, well, Aaron's gone. We don't got to worry about the Packers this year. And then the Packers still fucking beat us. Anyways.
Yeah.
And so, I think that'd be pretty crazy. There was a time I was talking to a gentleman about having Woody Harrelson be my running mate. Legitimately, like actually honestly talking what? About that,
like for real,
like for real. Yeah, absolutely.
Dang, and there's sweet.
It's just not out there, of the realm we must of double tap the COVID regime.
It's still not completely out of the realm of possibility, to be honest with you as well. So but Woody is a very anarchist, by the way, but he is a member of the Libertarian Party. Also, Fred Durst is a Libertarian Party member, if you can believe that.
And Dollar Store Fred Durst might be your
and Dollar Store mate. Fred Durst might be my running mate. Don't say that about my
I
friend.
I thought it was Fred Durst. Fred, you ever see that?
Jesus, no,
you
I have
ever
not.
See where he responded to Clint's tweet?
No, the, really? The guy,
dude, okay, like a year ago, like Clint did that stream with Thaddeus Russell and Eliza Thaddeus. Blue,
yeah.
Right? And they're like, you know, there was a clip that got cut out of context of
big
Clint, like
of
agreeing
context,
with Thaddeus, mm-hmm. and he was like, someone was like, "What's Dollar Store Fred Durst?" And they tagged Fred Durst in the tweet, and Fred Durst responded.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, this is like
that.
A real interaction. And Clint's been on my show like 4 times. He's a great guy. It was so you know, modern internet. You know, Fred Durst is like, get this creep in my name out of your mouth or something like that. But jeez, yeah, dude. Someone called Clint. Fred Durst.
Oh Jesus, dude. I've only had one famous person ever message me on Twitter, and it was fucking Seth Rogen. I don't know if you guys are aware
Whoa.
Of this. Yeah, so there was a time there was this Jewish rabbi who from Kentucky that was like going at us because of we were anti-Semitic for posting the during the COVID regime, we were talking about the vax passport and we put the Star of David on the signs, on the fucking vax passport signs in New York, and we posted it on Twitter. And I think the Libertarian Party of Kentucky actually posted that, which was pretty savage.
Yeah.
And this rabbi started going at us, and I shared a meme that someone made, I'm not going to say who, with the rabbi's face on the end of a penis. Okay. That's all I did. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny. And Seth Rogen immediately, within 10 minutes of posting that meme, messaged me on Twitter and said, "Are you even Jewish?
Really?
Are you even Jewish?" And then I found out he was doing that to like all of my friends in the movement, like messaging people going, "Are you Jewish?" Asking if people were Jewish. And I'm like, what the fuck does that matter? Because we're not allowed to have a disagreement with a rabbi without being Jewish? Shut up. No one cares. Mm. No one gives a shit. And that was, I remember, because I wasn't like, I used to actually like Seth Rogen movies. Like Pineapple Express was hilarious. There were some funny ones out there, right? And I remember at that time going, oh, this guy is just like a fucking super leftist. Like, yeah. And he's going to go on a rant about, you know, Jewish supremacy and all this stuff. Like, okay, cool. Well, fuck off. And I never will watch his movies ever again because of that. But it was the funniest thing because I've never had a famous person like message me. Now the guy fucking sits around and smokes like 80 joints a day and makes ashtrays for a living, like Art Deco ashtrays. That's what he does, dude. He doesn't even like do movies anymore.
He peaked at Superbad.
No, he peaked after that, a little bit after that for sure. Pineapple Express was after that.
Yeah,
but then he made a cartoon about fucking talking hot dogs. You know what I mean?
I like Sausage Party more than Pineapple
I'm
Express.
Sure you
Pineapple Express is about just like sitting around smoking weed. It's
yeah,
it's whatever.
Ronwell Nogales, thanks for the $5 super chat. Nice meeting you, Josh, and your son in Elmhurst, Illinois. Say hi to your son for me. Mm-hmm. Thanks for answering my questions along with the others on Israel Gaza stuff. Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure to meet you as well. Thanks for hanging out with us and being excited to see me and taking pictures with me. And he took a picture of my son too, because Adric went up there with me. So
nice.
What was the other news that we had? Listen, okay. India, okay, the street shitters.
Hmm.
They now have the capability to fire multiple warheads on one missile. Multiple nuclear warheads with one missile. This is a new capability for them. They've joined, they now join, I think, only five other countries or four other countries that have this capability, including us. Us, Russia, China, Japan. I think that's probably about it. So we're talking India.
Yes.
India, the place where, I mean, if you've seen pictures, you know what's going on. There's a lot of people
very,
around and pooping.
Very
stuff.
Pleasant place. I think that's the place where they play the game on Google Street View, where you click a random place, and if you can't see trash somewhere, you win.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody wins.
That's like Chicago's like that, too. I don't know if you guys know this, but Chicago's like
so
that.
Funny.
I don't think we have to worry about it, because if they ever threaten us with nukes, we just have to go to Walmart and get $500 of Google Play card.
$500. Listen, we're going to fire the nukes. We're going to fire the nukes unless you get us $500 worth of gift cards.
Hello, we will fire nukes if you do not give us $500 in Google Play cards.
Yeah.
We can combat it. It's okay. How do you feel about India having multiple warheads on their nukes now, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't care that much about the extra countries getting nukes or stuff like that, because especially India, because they're not really a player as far as power posture by themselves. I mean, I am a fan of BRICS. I'm a fan of Russia. I like Putin a lot, and I think that the unipolar moment, where United States is the global hegemon, is basically over. It's now a competition between China and United States, and to a lesser extent, Russia. And BRICS can kind of check that. And I think that's kind of a good, BRICS can check the United States in that way, which I think is a good thing, because we basically just export sodomy. I mean, that's like we export Jewish values, feminism, and sodomy. That's really what America is about these days.
It's democracy, so, sir, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Democracy. Yeah. The right to vote on gay stuff. Yes. So I think it's interesting. I think that, I don't know. I used to think nukes were just fake and gay, to be honest. I thought that they just didn't exist. I don't even know what to think about all my old conspiracies anymore, because smart, when smart people say I'm full of crap, I listen to them, I think it's interesting, but I we've already been invaded by India, man. They are, have you seen this thing where there's like 150 big companies that have Indian CEOs? The great Shiva of the East has already sunk her tendrils into our society, so maybe we just maybe they won't nuke us, but we're America's just Epcot Center, dude. We just,
well, it is. It 100% is. So,
yeah. Capitalism kind of completely reformed Indian society. They used to have this weird caste system, and that's kind of completely gone out the window, because there was no social mobility. Whatever caste you were born into, you married into, you stayed into, you had a limited selection of careers, and you just couldn't ever move. Now you can kind of move up and down a little bit. And so it's thrown that whole society on its head.
What was the other news that we had?
What was it?
There was more.
We didn't talk about it. Well, first of all, can I just compliment you on this excellent title of the stream today? I was in the
Cannibal Holocaust.
I was in the waiting room, and I was just laughing my ass off when I saw the name of the stream. I was like, oh boy, it's going to be good. But yeah, they're eating people in Haiti. We didn't talk about that one.
Yeah, well, we got on the Haiti rant, and then I went on the jingoistic thing and got into the nationalist thing.
You're a jingoist, bro.
I do this sometimes. I go on rants on my show, and I get like an hour away from where I was supposed to be. It happens all the time. Here's the thing. This is what happened when I got called a jingoist. I brought up the fact that, the vast majority of Americans probably don't want to import roving cannibal gangs into the United States. Not something that like normal people want to see happen here. And I was told that it was an AI lie, first of all, and that it's not really happening. And all I said was like, so they have like the G9 and family and Tree Mia and like all these gangs in Haiti, right? Like there's like big, like the whole fucking country is like gangs, right? Now it's being run by a gang, by the way, because the president fled, right?
And barbecue, like, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the head of the family gang, right? It's called Family. And he's like the head of Family Gang. And so like, there's no, so what they did was, what happened and why this is so fucked up is people immediately started, they used barbecue and used him as the name for the video that's actually 2 years old of another gang member eating a man that was burning in a fire. Okay. And so where people went wrong is that they incorrectly attributed this stuff to barbecue. And I don't think that barbecue is a cannibal. And I don't know that Family is a cannibal gang, but there's years, decades, a generation or so more than that of history of cannibal gangs in Haiti. This isn't like some made up thing that we're just doing now because there's unrest there and I want the CIA to go over there and take them out, right? Like, I don't want the CIA involved at all. I don't want my tax dollars going to fight anything in Haiti, right? Like, I want to just leave Haiti the fuck alone and not let all the gangs come over here. Like, I think that's important, right? But like, I'm being called like a CIA supporter and I'm being called like a jingoist and a liar, and people are telling me that this isn't real. And I'm like, dude, these gangs have been eating people in Haiti for a long time. This isn't new. You know what I mean? And so I don't know, dude, like, I don't want roving cannibalistic gangs in the United States. And like, if there's a way to keep them out so that I don't have to like go out in like Rambo gear and protect my family, that'd be pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be all right with that. And I think like the vast majority of the United States citizens would probably be pretty cool with that too. Like, yeah, we can buy firepower, and yeah, it's incumbent on us to protect our families and our communities, but like, shouldn't have to like worry about roving cannibal gangs in America. You right. know what I mean? Like, that's what happens when you import the third world, man.
Yeah, but we can be happy with one thing, that if we do eat the human meat, it would be it's seasoned by Black people. You know, so you know how us whites with our bland seasoning, you know, they'd be seasoning their human meat. So
I just want to be very clear that I use a ton of fucking seasoning. I season the fuck out of
Yeah, dude.
I just don't wash it in dish soap, you know what I mean?
Hey, man, I'm a white identitarian, not an idiot, you know? Like, they get the seasoning right.
Yeah, we're
right?
not like fucking England fought a whole ass long war over spices and don't even use the damn spices, right, dude. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's despicable, man.
Yeah. Thanks for $2 super chat, Quest. He said, "Don't nuke me, bro. I won't." I think I missed one of your super chats earlier too about Swab has the most awesome outfit since 30s Hugo Boss. damn, dude. Level zero member for 29 months. Cannibal gangs wouldn't have a very good time in Iowa. No, they wouldn't. First of all, our population is kind of small, or 1.7 million people in the whole country or the whole state. And a lot of us, a lot of people here, first of all, are very armed, like very armed.
And then the rest have farmer strength.
Yeah, like farmer strength. I would venture to say that of all the states that I've visited, it's in the top five as far as the people I've met and how armed they are here, dude. Like, this people have like whole fucking basements full of firepower in the middle of the country. Don't come here. And also, it gets really fucking cold here. And I don't think people understand that either. Like, we had a negative 40 day this winter, like negative 40. Listen, I'm from California. I promise you guys in California, you don't know what that feels like. It hurts fucking bad. So, I don't know. What do you think about cannibal gangs, buddy? Ryan?
I would like it if they stayed there for sure. I mean, but dude, I mean, this is what happens when you worship demons for hundreds of years. I mean, Haiti is one of the biggest voodoo witchcraft places in the world. The people there came from Africa. Many places in Africa are at the top of the worshiping demons thing. It doesn't really surprise me that they engage in that. But I saw that one thing that was hilarious about, and you're right, the video was not the current regime. It wasn't barbecue, but people were trying to explain it away and say, oh no, that's just the video from 2 years ago of cannibal gangs.
Like, there was cannibal gangs 2 years ago now, and you think they're not there now? You fucking idiot.
Yeah, exactly. So what changed to make them no longer there?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing has changed. Nothing has improved in Haiti. It's gotten worse.
Did you hear that I didn't watch it, but I guess there was some video of a guy eating another guy's
genitalia. Yes, I saw that video. I don't even want to talk about it.
I didn't see that.
I saw there's a video.
No,
there's a video out there now. I think it was like a year and a half old or something too, with the guy biting another guy's thing off that's laying in the middle of
the
street.
Yeah, it has the wah-wah pedal with the guitar in the back.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, Quest also said, let's see, is it true that 1,488 people were arrested for January 6th?
I don't know.
Yeah. MBW threw another $2 super chat. He says, Steven is a Djangoist, a Django Unchainedist.
Very true. I actually never saw that movie. I don't even know. Is Django the slaver? Is Django
is a guy who comes in pretending. He's like a black dude that like comes in and pretends to be like cool with the white slave owners and then like kills a bunch of them. It's really a woke ass movie. It was one of those cultural I'm gonna beat you with a baseball bat movies, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But it's funny because
it was the Joker movie for black people.
Yeah, it was a Joker movie for black people.
The Joker for blacks. Okay, gotcha.
It was like a social commentary movie. But the funny thing is that he makes all kinds of movies that are actually like pretty based too. I don't know if you guys are aware. So, but anyways, all right. Was there any more news that we had before we get out of here?
I couldn't. There was something else. I know there's one other thing we wanted to talk about.
Puberty blockers.
Oh, puberty blockers. Yes. Europe fucking beat us on this issue, dude. England has outlawed puberty blockers, saying they are unsafe and cause permanent damage to children. They banned them for children under the age of 18.
Yeah.
Except for in medical necessary cases.
Yeah. I would guess what they're defining as medically necessary is precocious puberty. The only other use case for them, because the argument all the leftists make for puberty blockers is that they're medically necessary.
Right.
So,
what do you think about that, Steven? I know you're happy about it. I'm sure you want everything. Like you want everything said, illegal.
We should have never left. This is my justification for being opposed. I'm just kidding. I love it. I think that this should be banned. I think anyone involved in this should be. Yeah, either life in prison or Minecraft type deal that we've already talked about. So I am a bit ashamed. But I mean, whatever makes it work, is what makes it work. I would love to get to a place where we can all just admit that there's never been a trans person in history. It just is fake. So whatever gets us like closer to there, I'm on board with. But yeah, I mean, everyone in those countries is implicitly gay, so I'm a little bit ashamed of that. A little ashamed they got that first, you know.
Yeah, dude, I talk a lot of shit when a British person on Twitter tries to like drag me. I'm like, my only response you need is, dude, you're British. Like, I honestly don't give a shit. Yeah, like, that's all I have. Yes. That's all I have to say. And I have friends that are British, and like, you know what I mean. Like, I got friends that watch a show that are British. And I want you guys to understand that, like, we should probably like import you over here and get you the fuck away from that terrible like monarchy.
Yeah.
But I will say, I go back and forth on the monarchy issue. I think a benevolent monarch would sometimes be better than the democracy we have in the United States, only because a king's easier to take out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Accountability.
Much more accountability. Yes. Yeah.
I unironically agree with that. That's one of the main reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Guys, before we get, we are about an hour and a half, and we're going to do the after hour show. So before we get going and get everybody's links up and stuff, new thing for you guys that are members of the show tonight. So if you're a member of the show, or if you want to become a member of the show, all you have to do is hit the join link under our YouTube video, or hit the Patreon or subscribe star. It's patreon.com/ breakthecyclejs or subscribestar.com/breakthecyclejs. Those two things will take you to where you can become a member. I mean, the cheapest one's like $1.99 or $2 a month or whatever. And we are now going to start bringing you guys on the show. So the after hour show, if you want to take part in it, the links are already up at those three spots. If you're a member on the YouTube, it'll be under the community feed where I make posts. There's a StreamYard link there, and you can hop into the StreamYard link. You'll be added to the queue. I'll bring you up on the show, and you can ask questions, talk about whatever we're talking about, whatever you guys want to do. So everybody will get a little segment. So if you guys want to do that, go join now and help support the show. We definitely need your support. We're getting to a place where we'd like to start flying out some guests for the in-person, in-studio shows, because we have a nice studio here. We don't want it to go to waste. Steven, man, I love you to death. I think you're great. We don't agree on every single thing, man, but you're a cool ass dude. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it's fine, man. I love that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's important. You know, that iron sharpens iron shit, you know? And I think people like you and some of my other friends that are probably, a little more hardcore than I am on some of these issues have helped me get to where I am. So, you know, 10 years ago, I was just a lulbert, like a total lulbert. Like I made an anti-racism video, dude. Straight up.
Ooh.
Yeah. Straight up. Dang. I did, dude. And I've always been like, so like there's some issues that I've always been like pretty right wing about, like abortion and Israel and stuff like that. But also there was this time where I was like, oh, we can't be like hanging out with racists. And now I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck what you think, as long as you care about like that leaving me the fuck alone at this point. You know what I mean? But anyway, where can people find you, support you, listen to you, all them good things, dude?
Yeah, sweet. So yeah, again, thank you so much for having me on. This has been an awesome experience. Down to do it whenever. And to me, it's just it's not even about whether we agree or not. It's just bros hanging out, discussing ideas. Been doing it for a while, and you guys have a really good vibe here. But yeah, I'm Steven Ignoramus. You can find me, it says on the screen, at JR Normus on Twitter. I stream every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, a couple other places, but mainly the Rumble. The Rumble is Ignoramus on Rumble. But if you go over to my Liberty Links, which is all my contact info, it's libertylinks.io/Ignoramus. You can find all the different spots, but we talk about all kinds of issues on my show. Also, just do a lot of music and just have discussion about politically incorrect topics and stuff that you used to be able to talk about 20 or 30 years ago, and now you just can't anywhere. So you're not going to agree with everything I say, but you know, who really cares? It's just a good time. And I don't know, 10 a.m. Eastern time weekdays. And dude, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. And you guys stick around, because Steven, you're going to join the after hour show for a little bit, right? You're good with that?
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Nice,
I'm here,
dude,
for as long as you want.
The long haul. That's the good thing about long form streamers, dude. They're always down to go as long as you want. I love that shit. So if you guys want to come hang out in the after hours with us, and Steven will be there, you guys can do that. All you got to do is join the Patreon, subscribe, start, become a member of the YouTube channel. You'll find those links. You can pop in and ask Steven questions. You can ask me questions. You can talk about whatever topics we're talking about. I think we'll come up with some good topics here after we're in the show. Probably we're a little more spicy in the after hour show, if you can believe that. So, but anyways, I love you guys to death. I will see you on Thursday. We're going to have Aaron Day on, who's also a presidential candidate running for the Republican Party. His entire thing is against the central bank digital currency. And he's got a lot to say on that. I think it's going to be a really great fucking show. I'm looking forward to having him on. So definitely check us out on Thursday. We'll see you in the after hour show. Until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. But Chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. The product didn't get you close to COVID.